So this is our last Sunday of biblical leadership, not our last Sunday of the calendar. Right? That's the last one of this series. I will tell you, no matter what, almost every sermon and everything that we present should revolve around this idea of being discipled, should revolve around this idea of like growth with God and calling us out into a world to lead for Him. Right? So it's not really necessarily an end to this series. It's just a highlight of this series going, okay, this is what God has called us to be, and we can't just sit around and not do what God has called us to be, right? Right? I don't care what age or where you're at in life, no matter what, God has called you personally by your name to change a world around you for His grace, for His presence, for His service, right? We are all called servants of God, right? And we're all, this is the cool thing. Like, he calls us together to figure out what it looks like. And guess what? It's messy. It's fun. Some people might not use fun as the adjective, but it's fun. We are all trying to discover how God has called us, right? And what that looks like and how we live that out. And sometimes we can, oh, this is the way that God has called me, right? We can do that. But reality is this, we are called to work together, called to be a family union that is called to go out and share the gospel and to be the gospel, right? And so before I get into my sermon, I just want to say two Sundays ago, I got a phone call right after service, and my father passed away unexpectedly. I want you to know, as a church, if you didn't know that, I'm not trying to. I'm sorry you didn't know, but I will tell you, I appreciated your prayers, I appreciated your messages, I appreciated everything because it has helped me get to this point. And I know a lot of you are praying for me this morning. I know I'm not in this alone. God is bigger than all this, right? And He's got me. I will tell you, I can see how God can use the worst things in your life to glorify Him. I gained a brother and a sister-in-law through this. And if you ever want to know the story, you can come and ask me. I'm not going to tell you the story this morning from the pulpit because it's not the place. But man, I will tell you, growing up, I always wanted to have a brother that I could pick on. To give a hard time to, and he gave me a little brother that's huge and can hurt me. But he's a gentle spirit. I love him and his wife. He gave me a stepmom that I love, that cares and needs God more than ever. And I will tell you, while I was down there, I went down there Monday through Thursday trying to wrap up whatever I can, trying to help out with whatever I can. And Wednesday morning, we had to go to the funeral home, and it was just me and Julia. And we sat in the car, and she just said, I gave my life over to Jesus.
Praise God.
God is good. Even when life is in ruins in some ways, right? God is good. So I just wanted to get that out there. I wanted to say thank you so much for your prayers and thank you for being the church that I needed. I love you. I felt the love by you. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know God will help me through this. This Sunday morning service is about being resilient. resilience. And I want to kind of recap all that we've been talking about, right? And if you want to take notes, this is the place, I guess, to take notes. If you want to learn, if you wanted to embrace something that's from this, this is good stuff here, okay? And it's not because Ben came up with it. It's because God already put it out there, and I'm just the repeater of it, right? That's what it's all about. God has called us to be teachable. If you think you've got it all down pat, then God can't use you. You have to be moldable. You have to be something in here that goes, okay, I learned something new that God is showing me. I need to love this way. I need to be used this way. I need to have my eyes being willing to be opened by God to change, right? And we use Proverbs, if you remember 4:7, what is wisdom? It's one of the greatest things, man. We can, and wisdom is from God, right? And if we ask God for wisdom, he will give it. So we should get wisdom. I love that verse. Just get wisdom, right? It's out there to receive. It's out there to ask for. And I will say, before any interactions that you have with people, especially frustrating people, especially people that need your help, I will tell you, the help that they really need is from God. And we should be seeking his wisdom in order to be the relay of that wisdom. Okay? So, then we need to be attuned with God. And I think the way to be in tune with God is to pick up our cross daily and follow him. To pick up our cross daily will attune our hearts to understand we are his servants and we are here to go the extra mile for people because our life is a sacrifice for God. And in that, guess what he has called us to live like Jesus. And who did Jesus sacrifice for? Who did Jesus minister to? Who did Jesus love unconditionally? Right? They weren't easy people. They weren't necessarily fun to be around. They were the outcast. And we are called to pick up our cross, die to ourselves, and live for God. That attunes us. The next thing, adaptable. Right? Adaptable means, okay, we live in a culture now that's different from the culture that we grew up in. Am I right? We need to figure out, how do I display the gospel to this culture? Because it's not going to be the same way that I did, my parents did when they were kids, when they were young adults. Right? We have to be adaptable. The message doesn't change. Trust me on that. I truly believe that. The message is the same. But from the beginning, that message, the way it has been delivered, has changed enormously. Right? And we, I think, first off, we should be the most creative people because God has blessed us, because we know where our creativeness comes from. We know what we're made in the image of. Right? We are made in the image of God, the God that created all of this. I want you to know, I went to the Colorado Rockies. It was beautiful. I will say it was breathtaking because there was lack of air up there. Literally breathtaking. But if I could just take a memory and just photograph it and just be constant in my mind, because I felt like I was on the cusp of this world, into about touching space and seeing clouds and walking through clouds. Just amazing what God did, what God is doing. And he looks at us and goes, you are the best that I've ever made. That is our creator. And we are made in his image. And we are called to be creative, adaptable, loving the people in this world the way he has loved us. We've got to stop. As leaders, the way God has called us, we cannot be doing this to society. We need to be embracing them and loving them and allowing God to change them. Right? Right? Last week, Harrison was up here and he talked about tenaciousness. I watched a little bit before we got into the mountains and all of a sudden he was stuck like this. Right? And what I love, the first part, he goes, I don't know anything about what it means to be tenacious, right? And I thought that word was an evil word, or like it brought out, like people are mean. being tenacious of some sort, and that I threw him out there on the life, like, good luck at preaching this. We'll talk on Monday, right? But I heard he did a great job. And what I understand of what it means to be tenacious is to be just a hunger that is inside of me that is only sourced by God. A hunger that I want to share him, I want to be with him, that I can't be without him. In the moments that I step outside of this, I understand that I am hungry for him, that my heart is not being fulfilled. In the moment that I'm in line with this, woo! I cannot be contained. The Spirit is within me and I'm on fire for him no matter what situation I find myself in. And it's so catchable that people see it. No matter what avenue of life you're in, no matter what job you do, that you are not contained by that job, but you are living beyond that job in the circumstances that you live because God fills you up. God is the source of who you are. God is the source of what you do and how you do it. And so when you walk out into this real world, it's like you're a different person. You don't belong in this job. You can work at any job and go, man, I find a joy, not because of what I'm doing, but because what God has done in me, and I do it for him. And I want the world to know it. That's being tenacious. That's being, you can't contain me. Because God is in me. And I'm excited to share him. Like all of a sudden, I will say, when you're tenacious too, your fear is gone. This fear that we have to share God sometimes, right? Am I right? It sits in there like, should I share God at this moment? I don't know. Right? Anybody have that? The more that you have God within this and you're overflowing with him, whew, that fear starts to fade away. And you might even ask a waitress in that moment, like, hey, do you go to church? Hey, do you love God? Hey, let me tell you about God. I want you to know, weird thing, at a place called You Need Pie, love it. Went there over vacation, up in the mountains, there's a breakfast joint. Man, had the most honest conversation with a waitress there. And it's because of what God had been doing in my heart. Normally, I wouldn't ask, hey, so you go to church? It's kind of a weird question, isn't it? To just ask a random stranger? Shouldn't be, but it's weird. Actually, I was joking with her before we even ordered, and I was giving her a hard time, and then I asked her, do you want to know what I do for my life? It's a weird question, I know, but I said, I'm a pastor, and she just started busting up laughing. I was like, I would go to the church that you go to. You're weird. Right? And then all of a sudden, she just starts opening up her life. Not because I got to tell her I was a pastor, but because I got to share the tenaciousness, the love, the thing that has changed in here I couldn't contain, and I was following what the Holy Spirit was saying in me, and I asked her, and then all of a sudden she just needed it. And she was willing to share what God was doing, right? Whew, awesome. Awesome. I will tell you, if you have those moments and you say yes in those moments, it's life-changing for you just as well. I will forever have, I want to call her Hilda, that's not her name, Hattie. I'm going to call her Hilda, she'll forever be Hilda in my name. If she ever watches, you're Hilda, all right? Forever be praying for her. She joked with me and said, okay, are you one of those pastors, are you one of those Christians that will leave a track, you know, as my tip, you know, as something that talks about the salvation, and here's your tip. Good luck to you. Or a prayer card. Hey, my tip is that I'm praying for you. And I was like, if that works, sure. She looked. No. I told her, absolutely not. I understand you work for this. This is part of your job. I get it. But I want you to know we do have prayer cards, but it doesn't take prayer cards for you to know that I'll be praying for you. That Hattie has a place here now. I know where she goes to college. I know what she's doing for life. I know those things now because guess what? I just asked. I was led by the Spirit And now that person's in my heart, and guess what? She's part of my story, and I get to share the gospel with her. It's exciting to me, and it should be. Those things should excite you in how you walk the life with the Lord. Lord is going to put people in your place that he wants you to be tenacious for. Right? All right. Today, we're going to talk about what it means to be resilient. Life isn't easy. Right? And let me give you some verses that go with this. Philippians 1:6 says this, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out on completion until the day of Jesus Christ." That gives hope. That no matter what, God is doing something good in here. God is working on you. God is wanting to do good work in you personally. I want you to hear those words. I want you to take heed of those words because I want you to embrace them because the reality of that, man, God has called you and he wants to do good works in you. That's huge. Okay? And he will fill him. The cool part, too, is like, who completes it? Jesus. Right? That's so awesome. That's so cool. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fill his good purpose." I think this is also a moment that I have to say to yes to him to work in me. God is wanting to work in you. Do you want him to work in you? Yeah? Man, that's a great answer, but it's a dangerous answer. Because he's going to put you in spots that are uncomfortable. He's going to put you in places that you have to embrace people that you're not used to embracing. You have to love people at their lowest and not judge them, not convict them, guide them. Even when they don't listen to you. Even when they're frustrated with you. Even when they say horrible things about you. That is Jesus' life as a disciple. That's Jesus as our Messiah. Understand that? He wants to do a good work in you. Let me talk about Jacob. Jacob had a brother, Esau, and he had a father, Joseph. Am I right on that? People? Yes? No? Do we not go on biblical history? Yeah? All right. What's that? Isaac. Oh, there we go. I knew I was wrong. All right. So, he had a brother. He's the older brother. Esau is the older brother, right? And the older brothers always get the blessing. Ha ha, Raleigh. Yeah. Who said amen? There he, all right. Oldest brother gets all the blessings from the family, right? So, Jacob knows this. And he wants the blessing, and guess what? He's also mama's favorite. So his dad is pretty much blind, and they decided to come up with this plan, and they steal the blessings from his brother. Right? And the moment they realize he steals the blessing, the moment that this comes along, he understands what he just did and goes, "Oh no, my brother is bigger than me, meaner than me, more capable of killing than me. He's an expert hunter." Right? Once he finds out what I just did, my life is in danger. So the moment that he steals this blessing, the moment that he tricks his dad into blessing him with the fortunes of this family, with everything that comes along with that blessing, right? He is on the run because he's fearful of his brother. Brother comes home, finds out what he did. Guess what the brother wants to do? Yeah, beat him. Kill him. The anger of what was righteously his was taken away. So Jacob starts off as a fraud. One of the first frauds. Right? He committed fraud. Right? And he's on the run. And there's so much. This is an awesome story, but I'm going to fast forward to Genesis 32. All right? He has a family. His life has been blessed up to this point. But he's still living under this umbrella of being a fraud. Okay? And he has this plethora of riches. Right? He has land, he has animals, he has family, he has wives, he has what God has blessed him with, and he's excited about it. But at the same time, he lives under this umbrella of what he did to start this. Right? And he's still, all at this time, believing in God, wanting to be a godly man. Right? Wanting to be a leader for God. And it came to a point that he had to make something right. He knew his brother was on the way to meet him. You see this in 32. His brother was on his way to meet him, and guess what he did? Everything that he owned, he started just sending all his servants with everything as a gift. Because he thought his brother was what? Out to kill him. This is years have passed. And usually with years of resentment, years of frustration, years of being done wrong, that just likes to ball up right there, right? And not really go away, but consumes you. Can you imagine his brother and how his feelings, and he, like, his brother had gained armies. Like, he had men following him, all right? Sitting there going, all right, my whole mission in life is to get my brother. And what that can do and change a person, right? Now, the story that Jacob doesn't know is Esau has changed. His heart towards, he wanted just to be with his brother. He just wanted to regain a relationship. He had already forgiven him, right? And so he keeps sending all these things, all these gifts and all this stuff to his servants. And he's like, that's not what I want. I want my brother. I just want my brother. And there came a night that Jacob, I think Jacob just thought, okay, this is the end. I'm just going to go and face it. Have you ever had those moments in life where everything that, you know, it just came to an accumulation of facing what you have done, right? And you go, okay, here it comes. This is not going to be easy. How do I approach this? Do I defend myself? And you get to that point, I can't even defend myself. I just got to take the punishment, right? I know for me growing up, there was really one person that was the disciplinary person in my family. It was my dad. And if he swatted me, whoo, I felt it, right? I will tell you, I moved away when I was 9 from my dad, went up to Illinois. He stayed in Florida. And there was a moment that my mom was breaking with me, and she got to like that point of like, okay, she would spank me, and I would visibly laugh. Yeah, I was a bad kid. Right? I would visibly laugh, and I go, that didn't hurt. What are you going to do now? Well, I'll ground you. Good luck. You're having to work. How are you going to know I'm going to stay in the house? Right? All that stuff. Right? So she got to her wit's end. Now, remember, my dad lives down in Florida. She lives in Illinois. She goes, guess what I'm going to do? I was like, what are you going to do, Mom? I'm going to call your dad. What do you mean you're going to call dad? And dad's going to come up here, and he's either going to fly or he's going to drive. And that whole time, he's just going to be thinking about, man, I'm going to have to spank that kid. I was like 12, getting to that point, like, not afraid of spankings, but still in that moment, like, that's going to hurt. And I don't know if it'll just be a spanking if he comes up here. This might be a full beating. Right? I remember my mom picking up the phone. I watch her. 1-9-4-1. I was like, that's really the number. Right? Back in those days, you had memorized numbers. You remember it starting on the phones? Yeah, I'm that old. Right? Starts dialing it, and I immediately going, Mom, I'm so sorry. I will be the best kid ever. Please just hang up. My fear was there, right? You ever have those moments of, like, that's facing reality, right? And this is what Jacob was going to do. And he sent his family away. Everything that was protecting him was gone, and he knew his brother was coming, and he was just going to stand before his brother. And that night, this is the cool thing, that night, I think he internally fought with this idea of facing his brother and started wrestling God. Started wrestling God, physically wrestling God. This is what's awesome about God. God came down as a man in that moment and wrestled Jacob. And Jacob was strong too, apparently, because he did not let go of this. He did not let go of God. He did not let go of this man. Even when the man said, "Let me go," he said, "No, I need to wrestle you. I need to figure this out." And he all suddenly, I think in the middle of this, Jacob knew who he was wrestling with. His creator, the person he had been running from, the person that he knows that can make this all right, right? And he held on to him, even at a point where God touched his hip and he was permanently wounded. He had a limp from that point on, right? Did he let go? No, he did not. Listen, can you imagine being a resilient leader, as in if you're wrestling for people, wrestling for God, being in this point of holding on to God through all life's issues and not letting go, but going, "God, you've got this, and I can only do this through you." And he goes, "Okay, let me touch you that you'll never walk the same. Let's see if you believe this still." And he still held on. And God looks at him and goes, "What do you want from me? I need you to bless me. I need to know that I'm in the right with you. I need to know that I've got this right. And that in this moment, no matter what happens with my brother, that you make this right." Being a leader for God looks like all this, that we don't have the right answers, we don't have it all correct, we don't know what life is put before us, and dealing with the steps before us, understanding that it can crumble at any moment, that it can we can lose everything. But if I hold on to God, and I know He's got this, I'm good. Being resilient in the moments of facing life is what we're called to do. It's not easy. And if anybody tells you, "Hey, life is perfect once you have Jesus Christ in your life, once life, He will make it the straight and narrow, and He will bless you with finances, He will bless you with everything." And if you're sitting here thinking that that's what you've been told, guess what? That verse that talks about He will give you the things of your heart's desires, I want you to understand that goes back to being tenacious with God. And the heart that I have in line with God is the one that He will fill up with all those desires, because those desires are not from earthly, they are from heaven. They are what God has put in there, and we understand it is not the earthly desires that we need, it is the God-ordained ministry that He has put us here that we desire to do. And so in your heart, if it is in line with God, our desires will be, "Hey, God, put somebody in my life that I can share the gospel with. That when I wake up tomorrow, I cannot wait to live, act, and breathe what God has put in my life to share with everybody else." And Jacob in this moment was living under this cloud of being a fraud and held on that his name wouldn't be attached to that from this point on, and that he could face his brother knowing that God has blessed him and forgiven him. Imagine having that ability as a leader, that first off, I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. We do many things, we say many things that we regret, and we do, and we don't present what the way God sometimes wants us to present, right? But can you imagine understanding the consequences of sometimes of our choices and going, "God, forgive me, bless me, change me, allow me to face those things that I have done wrong and make them right. That is a leader. You know what happened in the interaction between his brother and him? I know I got a lot of biblical scholars out here. I know that you know this story, but Esau didn't care about that stuff. He came running up, embraced his brother, loved on him, and they build a bond, right? And I think also probably from holding on and wrestling with God, what he also has to live with is the years of running away that he could have had a relationship with his brother. Listen, to be a resilient leader is one understanding we are not bound by our wrongs. We face them by holding on to God. Do you understand that? You believe that? Because guess what? That means we step out in that moment of fear and realize God's got this. And I'm willing to deal with the consequences of whatever it is because I know God's got this. And from that point on, I think that limp that he always had was a reminder, hey, God's bigger than the problems that I cause. God's bigger than the issues that I have to deal with. God's bigger than the things that that the world tells me to fear. Really, God's got it. And I can face it with him. That he's willing to wrestle with me, deal with me, and change my heart, and change my perspective of how I see this world and how I live in this world and how I be as a leader. You are not called to just sit in your seats. You are called to live. Are you willing to wrestle God? Are you willing to hold on so tight that it hurts? Because that's what we are called to be, a leader. He wants to change you. He wants to use you, whatever, wherever you're at in your life. This is what's crazy too. Do you think that you're perfect? You're not. Does that keep you from being used by God? Because if it does, you're never going to be perfect enough for God. He's the only one that makes you perfect. Do you hear that? It is only through him that you've been perfected. It is not by your efforts, not by your choices, not by anything else. It's just receiving God and understanding that he's your Lord and Savior and all those things. I hope from this point on that my voice glorifies him because he's using me. Because he resides here. Right? There's a cool quote by this guy. Stay calm, stay connected, stay the course. When we're living life, and life's not easy, right? I want you to know that, like, God has been using this thought process this week on me. To be honest, I was not ready to be up on this stage. I don't think that I had the strength to be up here, but I know God is bigger than what I am going through. God is loving me where I'm at, and it is only through him that I stand up here and deliver this message for you. And whether or not you get it or not, it is between you and God. But I will say, this quote has helped me this week. The more I stay connected to God, the more I was calm, the more that I'm ready to stay his course. And no matter what life issues come along, and you guys are all going through them. I'm not naive. You guys carry your burdens, you carry your faults, you carry your struggles. And what's awesome is that God is willing to wrestle those things with you. Just hold on to him. Allow him to bless you through it. That's his blessings. His presence is his blessing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, we give you all the praise this morning. Lord, may we stay connected to you. May we stay calm, and may we stay the course, because we know that you've got us. This morning, I pray that we walk out of here, and this week we wrestle with you, and allow you to bless us. May we confront the storms of our life, knowing that you're right there going through the storm with us. May we believe that you're bigger than those storms of life. May we believe that you come to heal the broken. May we believe that you come to bring peace where there's chaos, that you come to say to the storm, stop. May we face those things with you. May the world see us and see our joy and see our understanding and see our peace in a world full of chaos, in a world full of anger, and they go, what is it that they have? May we be engaging with your love. May we be biblical leaders out in this world that needs it. Help us, Lord, to be the voice that you've called us to be. We give you all the glory this morning. And Lord, as we end this service, may we also understand we are called to go out and live out your message. We do this to glorify your name. Amen. You're dismissed.